Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Previously on The Rundown with Ray Zahab.
I didn't always think this way, but, you know, now, in the second half, I like to say, of my life, I do. And doing these expeditions to the tune now of, my gosh, close to 20,000 kilometers I've covered on foot, on deserts and Arctic regions and everything else, that I occasionally, in these conversations, look back and say, wow, I'm just so stoked to have visited so many amazing places on this planet with my feet, you know?
On this episode of The Rundown, I caught up with distance runner and the director of sales and marketing for Cielli Athletics, Dan Merritt. Growing up, Dan ran for sport, but years later, it was a work fitness challenge that drew him back to running, and he just kept going. He continues to pursue personal excellence in running as he builds a young family and a career in Vancouver. Part of that journey is discovering and sharing stories through running, allowing him to connect with runners from all walks of life. This episode is brought to you by VeloFix. As runners, there's not much to worry about in terms of equipment maintenance or tune-ups. But for those cyclists and triathletes out there, and speaking from my own experience, finding a bike shop with efficient customer-facing mechanics can be a challenge. Well, now it's time to change gears with VeloFix. With easy online booking, VeloFix sends a maintenance van straight to your door and provides same-day service with a smile. Head to VeloFix.com and use promo code LARUNDOWN15 for 15% off your tune-up. And if you happen to be looking for a bike mechanic gig, VeloFix is looking to expand their fleet in Quebec. Check out VeloFix.com to apply. In this week's news, I want to bring your attention to a man named James Lawrence. Sound familiar? He goes by the name of Iron Cowboy, and he's known for taking on crazy personal endurance challenges. He's already set world records for completing 22 half Ironmans in 33 weeks back in 2010. Then in 2012, he completed 30 full Ironmans in 1 year. As if that wasn't crazy enough, in 2015, he took on 50 Ironmans in 50 days in 50 states, which is absolutely insane. I can proudly say that I've done a full Ironman myself and can confirm that one is definitely enough. But not for Lawrence. He's now on a mission to do 100 Ironmans in 100 days, in what sounds like an impossible feat. He's already a quarter of the way through and has already faced swollen ankles and bad blisters, but keeps moving forward day by day. This episode is also brought to you by Wings for Life World Run, a race I've been part of for the last 3 years. The goal is simple. Run as many kilometers as you can, wherever you are in the world, and help find a cure for those affected by spinal cord injuries. Signing up is always the hardest part, and 100% of your registration goes towards future research. Get ready for your virtual starting line on May 9th, and stay ahead of the virtual catcher car for as long as you can. Just download the app and register. Make sure to check the show notes for links to information about this event, as well as the ongoing protests. There will also be a list of funds and foundations that need your support, so please consider donating to help support this movement. That's all for now. Gotta run. The interesting thing about my next guest is that we have a similar story when it comes to how we entered back into running, where it was like a challenge at work. And for him, it was the Brooklyn Half. For myself, it was a charity 10K. But it's funny how runners connect that way with how they got into it. My next guest is heading up the sales and marketing for a brand you might be familiar with, Cielli. You see their hats everywhere. He's a runner. He's done some pretty cool stuff that we're going to go through, and currently living in Vancouver. So I'd like to welcome to the show Dan Merritt.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. It's kind of like a long time coming. I know we try and get a run in when we were able to, when you're in town, and our chats are pretty limited to that. But happy to share this platform and this conversation today.
Cool. Likewise.
How are things going for you in Vancouver, and how have things been? Now we're a year plus on the pandemic side. How have things gone for you that way?
Things are going well. I can't really, especially with the fact that you're in Quebec and there have been more restrictions, more things that have, I guess, held people back in Quebec versus BC, where for the most part, we were still able to do a lot of the things that we enjoy doing. There were less things that were shut down here. So I can't really complain. Obviously, I think we're all at this point just anxious for it to be over. But the last year and change has gone by faster than I would have anticipated when when the whole thing started to happen.
Yeah, for sure. It's like a time where we've all had to kind of adapt. And has it affected, I mean, you working for CLA, they're in Montreal, and you've been living in Vancouver since you've joined them in 2019. Has anything changed for you that way? Or has it kind of been a remote thing from the start?
Well, so I'm originally from Montreal. So it would have, in a normal year, I would be doing 5-6 trips back to Montreal, where I can catch up with you on an evening run, and spend time in the office. Ideally, I'd be spending 5-6 weeks in the office, spread out over the year on those trips back home. I would have the ability to catch up with my parents, my friends, obviously spend time in the office. So that's the big change has been that I haven't been able to travel back to Montreal. I haven't been able to spend any time in the office, but at the same time, the office has been essentially crickets or one or two people in there. So it's not like I'm missing out on too much, but it definitely is hard to go through that much time without having real physical contact and spending time in person with everyone at the office.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like a different dynamic altogether, I can imagine. Has it been a challenge not being able to come back to see family and stuff like that?
Definitely.
And also, how has it affected your training, if any?
How has it affected my training?
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of a two-parter. Like, okay. Has that been hard not to be able to travel back across the country with these restrictions? And then, like, how has it affected your training?
Yeah, it's been hard not to travel. It's been hard. Obviously, I haven't seen my parents, my brother, and his family since Christmas 2019. So it's been quite a while. And in that year, the middle of last year, we had a son. So we also, our parents, my family hasn't met our child, our second child, our son, which is just very, it's weird. And it's obviously there's not much we can do about it. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing we can do outside of just having video chats and making sure that we're keeping up with people, sending pictures so that they're able to see them develop. But it is odd to think that my parents and family won't have met our son until he is just over one year mm-hmm. old, if we head back at some point in the fall.
Yeah, that's got to be like really tough for the grandparents too, you know, like,
yeah,
it's not easy for anybody, but yeah, certainly distance between, you know, family is even harder. But I also saw that you like kind of did a road trip too with your young family, like yes. in a van and stuff like that. What kind of sparred that?
The plan was to take 2-3-4 weeks off for a paternity leave. And we left it relatively open-ended just to see how things, what kind of support my wife would need right at the onset. I mean, knowing that family wouldn't be able to come out, that we wouldn't have the support we would have had if we, you know, parents, family were able to come and spend time with us, help out at home, etc. So we didn't plan too much until we actually had our son, understood what the lay of land was going to be, understand what it was going to be like to have two kids instead of one. And every cliche is true that it's you're outnumbered as soon as you have two kids. So we didn't plan too much. He was born in June. We didn't plan too much in June. But once we felt everything was under control, we locked in a 3-week period for my paternity leave. And there's limited options. We were supposed to have a family trip back in March to Hawaii, and travel ban kicked in about 3 weeks before we would have left for that trip. And we're also supposed to go to Mexico for my wife's 40th birthday in December, and that also was obviously canceled. So there weren't a ton of travel options. Things were relatively open within BC. And so we decided to just go on a road trip. And we were very fond of the idea of traveling in a van or RV, just kind of taking your house with you. And we found an RV with a lot of character. It's it was as old as we are. It's from 1981. We rented it from this guy directly in North Bend, and just kind of plotted a course that felt manageable, not trying to do too much driving in any one day and then staying in a place for 2-3 days. So we ended up driving, I think we went to 8 cities or eight areas altogether, over 20 days. And it was an absolutely amazing experience to take the entire family. Obviously, we had a ton of hesitation before hitting the road as to how is this actually going to go? Are they going to like this? Are they going to sleep? Are they going to just cry nonstop? And in the end, I mean, that was back in end of September, into a little bit of October. And our daughter still talks about the RV. The RV was called Harvey the RV. And she still sometimes asks about Harvey and is Harvey out front. And she has a couple of things, like some pajamas that we picked up on that trip, and she calls them her Harvey pajamas. So it definitely made an impact on her, and it was just a really fun trip as a family to explore our backyard.
That's awesome. And I think for a lot of people, you know, with what's going on, closures of borders and stuff, like that's very like a realistic thing and something we can all like relate with. And you know, so many times we're like thinking, oh, I got to go down south or I got to go to Europe or whatever, but yeah, we can actually like discover what's in our backyard. And that's pretty awesome. So you're giving me some ideas, with the RV move. That's all. Did you stay in Vancouver? Like, was it just in Vancouver, like just in BC?
We dipped into Alberta just a little bit. We went to, so basically we drove east, we stayed in Okanagan, then we stayed in Revelstoke, and then we went to Banff, drove up to Jasper, and that drive from Banff to Jasper is absolutely beautiful. And then we came back into BC and slowly worked our way back to Vancouver.
Really cool. And you got some like beautiful photos too to boot. Is that the passion of yours too, Dan, that we might not know about?
I do love taking pictures. Yeah. And especially landscape, scenery, mountains, situations like that, like travel, I guess, documenting travel, documenting moments as a family or on our trips. So it's easy to take good pictures, when you're traveling in landscapes that look like that.
Yeah. It's like, everything's like a money shot. Like it's a great shot, right?
Yeah.
Like,
is
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to miss.
It's hard to narrow it down to a little photo book that you want to share with people.
Yeah, not to take anything away from your photo skills. Like, they're beautiful photos.
Yeah.
So how's the training been during the pandemic, but also like being a dad? Like, how does that change the, you know, your training hours with work and, you know, helping out at home?
Training, so let's see. I was essentially training on my own from the point that I moved to Vancouver, which was in 2017, up until September or October of last year. So I was just kind of building my own plan, long run. I wasn't really doing workouts. I was just doing maintaining a solid rhythm, running 5-6 days a week, mixing up road trail, but I really wasn't doing any workouts and there was no rhyme or reason to it. There weren't really any races on the calendar. So right before, I mean, this was already in the course of the pandemic, but I decided that I wanted to start training towards an objective. And I signed up one of our friends and fam, what we call our ambassadors, like yourself, Luke Boucher. He's a coach out here, and he coaches with Mile to Marathon. So I had a conversation with him and ended up bringing him on as my coach. And I went to 1 mile to marathon workout in November. And it was a session at the track. It was really fun. It was cool to train as a group. I just hadn't done that in a long time. And then I think it was either the day after the track workout or a couple of days after, and Bonnie Henry rolled out some new guidelines and restrictions in BC, and there was no more track sessions. So I got a tease of what it would be like to really train with a group. I've continued on, obviously, training with him, but I've been doing all of or most of my workouts solo.
What are some of the benefits you see to working with a coach as opposed to like working out alone or training by yourself?
To answer that question, I'll peel back in time a little bit. It probably makes sense for me to jump into how I got back into running. As you mentioned, it was part of an office challenge, but back in 2015, I was working for the New York Red Bulls, the MLS team. So I was living in New York, and there was an office challenge, fitness challenge. So it was, people would be paired up into groups. And there was a certain amount of steps that everyone, let's say it was 10,000 steps a day. And as long as everyone in the group did their steps for that day, you moved forward and however many, I'm trying to think of what the prize was. I can't remember what the end objective, but ultimately as a team, you wanted to hit your daily goal, for a month. And we, my coworker at the time, now my wife, came up with the idea of signing up for a half marathon to have as an incentive, for us to train or to get those steps through faster, have something at the end that we're all working towards, as opposed to it just being about getting those steps done. And I, at that point, I hadn't ran purely running since I was 12 years old. I think the last run event I did as a child was the Halo Road Race, probably a 4 or 5K in my last year of elementary school. Mm-hmm. Which was amazing. Did you do that as a kid?
No, this is a chip I have on my shoulder, because I always wanted to. Looking back, it's something I always wanted to do as a kid. I was actively interested in it. I remember being interested in it in grade 4, 5, 6, but our school would only send the fastest, I don't know, 5K. I can't remember how many kids they sent, but I was never fast enough. So at that age, it was the hyperactive kids. We weren't trained. It was just go run in circles and whoever's fastest can go. Right. But I never got to my school didn't let me go. Cause I wasn't one of these top kids. Right. So no, the answer to that question is no. And I should probably still go running.
We should.
Just to get it out of the way, you know?
We'll just show up the next time it's organized. We'll just show up. We'll shave. We'll try to look as young as possible, and we'll go and race it.
Just go beat all the 11-year-olds.
Hopefully, yeah. So that was the last running event that I had done, and that would have been 1992 or 1993, and then here we are 2015, and we've signed up for the Brooklyn Half. And I was doing my runs. I think we just did a standard training program that you would get on the Nike app or something like that, and I was following that. I wasn't enjoying my runs. I wasn't really looking forward to getting out the door to go and get them done. I was excited, I guess, about the end goal, but the training part of it, I wasn't really into. And so, you know, if I was running out for an 8 mile run at 3 miles, I'd be kind of battling myself mentally of, do I just turn around now or do I really go 4 miles? And so, and that was what training was like for the first couple of months. And then a friend of mine told me to, we were chatting about it, and he was a more competitive runner in college. And he told me to try running without headphones, without my phone, without listening to music. And I thought he was absolutely crazy, and then started gave it a shot and started running without headphones, listening to music. And it completely changed how I appreciated all of those training runs. And they either became quite therapeutic in terms of just zoning everything out and just enjoying the moment, enjoying the scenery. I just got into it more. I guess I was consumed more by the runs that I was doing. And at the same time, it also became, if there were things going on that I needed to think about, I could just isolate one problem, one topic at a time, think about it while I was on my run, find a solution, find what I wanted to do with it, and then just log that, push on to the next topic. And I was able to have a lot of clarity and focus while running to think about other things. And that just completely changed my training regimen or my appreciation for training. When it came time for the race, it went well. I had a really great first race. I enjoyed the course. I enjoyed the atmosphere. 35,000 runners. And you finish at Coney Island, you finish in the baseball stadium, you have beers with your friends afterwards. And then you're in Coney Island and it's weird and there's fun things going on. And it was just a really, really positive experience. And it clicked. And when I was growing up, most of the sports I did, it was mainly doing team sports. So it was always subjective as to how things went. I played a lot of soccer. I played baseball, played basketball as well. So I was always running, but it was always in the context of another sport, but they were all subjective. So we could win a soccer game for nothing and I could feel like I played well, or I could feel like I played very poorly. So even though we won, I might not be happy with myself. On the flip side, we could lose a game and I could feel like I played my best, but it was always me ranking myself or me thinking about how I did, as opposed to it being, as opposed to it being just very clear, like very true. And when I finished the Brooklyn Half Marathon, I mean, you have your pace, you have your rank, you have your time, and it's just so objective. And it really clicked, from a competitive standpoint, it really clicked with me. And I went on. I was very fortunate to be in New York City because there are literally races every week. And I went on to sign up. I ended up doing about 35 races in about a 3-year span after that.
Wow.
Just shy of 3 years before I ended up moving to Vancouver. And one of my friends and coworkers who was part of that group and ran the Brooklyn Half Marathon, she had a coach that she was working with, and she saw that I was really into running and was connecting with the sport. And she put me in touch with her coach, saying that, you know, I think this could be a good idea. This is going to help you get faster and just help you progress as a runner. And I had a really great conversation with him and brought him on as my coach for pretty close to 3 years. And he is, his name's John Sinclair. He is either the most decorated road runner in US history, or at one point was, and obviously still if he's not the top, he's definitely still in the top. And his wife is Kim Jones, who's also a US running legend. So it was very cool to have him as my coach, and obviously just see the career that he had. And but it was a remote coaching experience. I still to this date have never met him. I've never even video conference with him. We all of our conversations were on the phone or through email or through this online portal where you would just log your training run results. And he was very, very traditional. He was very old school. So anything, I was kind of into gadgets, and I would tell him that I bought this Bluetooth device. It has two, like you put one on each ankle and it analyzes your gait and gives you recommendations on what you're doing wrong. He's like, I don't care about any of that. Just keep running more miles, run miles slow, make sure you're eating well, make sure you're sleeping. Kind of none of this matters. Same thing with heart rate monitors. He was very old school. But he really helped me progress, and you know, I saw the impact of the training. We would build the race calendar together, and he was also very great at, because I'm into so many other things as well, if there's a spontaneous trip or if I was going snowboarding, skiing, biking, whatever else, playing soccer. He just constantly adapted my schedule around my running schedule around everything else that I had going on. And I think that was, it was such a benefit compared to just going with, finding a 3-month program on an app or finding a 3-month program somewhere online and just trying to follow it yourself. The reality of life gets in the way of that. And you then don't necessarily know the best way to work around that. Whereas, so that's essentially the service that he was providing was one, helping make sure that I had the best program possible, but also making sure that as things came up, as I made plans to do other things, that he still found the way to help build up my endurance and strength. And I don't know how, I wouldn't have been able to do that if I was just trying to figure it out on my own with all these other things coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. And if, like, you brought up some good points too, like coaching style is one of them. You know, all the coaches are different in their approach. And was there any like rookie mistakes that you made in your first race or leading up to it that you could share? I know I have a few.
Leading up to it, I didn't know. There were so many things that I ended up learning from him after that race. So I don't think I necessarily made any big rookie mistakes in that first race, but I learned about how to properly warm up, a little bit more about pre-run activation, integrating strides into some of my training runs and doing strides before the race starts. I learned all of that arguably a year after my first race. And again, all of that helps contribute to improving my times and stuff like that. But I didn't, I don't think I did any big rookie mistake on that first run. I definitely, as I started working on smaller distances, would go hard, hard off the line and then realize, oh no, I'm going too fast. I really need to slow down. I think that was probably the biggest mistake that I made a few times. And then also just, what I would do the night or two nights before a race, that I also got a little bit more disciplined in terms of making sure that I'm taking care of myself. I'm not, you know, smashing beers the night before a race and then I'm resting well and got into a good pre-run routine for so many of those races that I was doing in New York.
Nice. So you didn't eat Vaseline on the course. That's good. I just wanted to confirm that.
No. But that, no,
I have done that. So, I thought it was a gel on a stick. I didn't know. I know they gave gels on the course, but anyways, it was on a popsicle stick and I ate it and, definitely was not a gel. So I went down smooth.
that's harsh.
Yeah, that was that's probably my worst one, I think. But what was it like being, you know, like getting back into running in the New York run scene? Like, did you experience that run culture there that we see on social media? And there's so many run groups, and I've had leaders of numerous run clubs on or run crews on the pod, and it's like it's a good vibe there, you know. Like I feel like there's a lot of good run culture that starts in New York.
Yeah, there definitely is. And I would say that was probably a miss on my end. I was just very focused on it from a solo standpoint. And I trained by myself, obviously, like reporting back to my coach and getting feedback from him. I liked bumping into and arguably getting to know some people that I would see at races. I mean, again, the frequency of races meant that you saw the same people time and time again, especially around people that were running around the same pace as you. So I enjoyed the pre-run moments with some other people in the corral and post-run, but I wasn't paying attention to it from a cultural standpoint. I was definitely noticing that there were so many different clubs and associations, and you know, you see Dashing Whippets, you see North Brooklyn Runners, you see all these groups. I would always notice there was two or three guys who I would see at all the races, and just especially if there was an out and back or any sort of loop, and I would just see them out ahead, both wearing their Nyack singlets, and I had this sort of fantasy of, could I get into the NIAC? How, you know, how much would I need to train? How hard would I need to push to get into the NIAC, the New York Athletics Club? And then I saw, I think it was an article in Meter magazine, one of the original Meter magazines from Tracksmith, and they posted the minimum standard to get in. And I think like mile for male was 416. It was completely unattainable. And that just kind of shattered my visions of getting into a competitive track club. But at that point in time, I was very focused on it for myself. And I missed out on the opportunity to have some, be a part of a club while I was down there and be maybe a little bit more involved in the scene. I was largely approaching it from an individual standpoint.
And you mentioned competitiveness too. Like, are you a competitive guy by nature, and were you really focused on the performance aspect of it? Because, you know, I figure you're training alone, you have a coach. That's my assumption, but
yeah, I am
insight.
Yeah, I am competitive, but I don't think I'm overly competitive. I really like pushing myself, and I really like seeing what I am able to do. But not to the point where I don't get beat up about it. I don't take everything competitively. I've especially in Vancouver, I think two or three races where I know I'm just not in the best shape to go out and push any of my times. I've approached those races with a very different attitude, and I've run a few times without a watch and just, you know, focusing on feeling flow, just having fun being out there with other people that are pushing themselves, but not caring so much about what my time is, my pace is, or you know, trying to unnecessarily push myself to get something that I know I can't hit. So I think I really do enjoy pushing myself, and I am stubbornly competitive in that if I do set a faster time, as opposed to being very excited and happy with it for a while, my immediate reaction is, ah, shit, I could have gone faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. That's something we can all, I mean, I think a lot of us can, I mean, there's been a few races where I feel, there's only been a couple races where I feel like I gave it, everything, and I really had nothing left in the tank. And the Toronto Marathon comes to mind, where I was just trying to move every part of my body to cross the finish and in the time I wanted, you know. But my form was just like disturbing. Looking at the post race photos, it was not pretty. But you know, like. It's like going to the well. It's something. It's a good feeling, you know, when you can say that you did. But it doesn't always happen. So where did things evolve? How did things evolve, you know, for you going from New York City to Vancouver? And I know you've taken on some pretty like cool relay style races. And like, I guess, was there like a pursuit of your own personal? How do you say this? Like, potential, like, did you want to tap into like, what's the best you can be, or were you content, like kind of going along that path and just like kind of seeing how it went?
No, I do. There is a personal pursuit for sure. And when I originally had a conversation with my coach back in the day with John, the first conversation we had was about establishing what goals would be. And I was, you know, new to the sport, new to all the different race formats, distances. And I was at work sitting by the window in this conference room, chatting with him, trying to figure it out. And I think to sum it up, I probably said, I want to run a marathon as fast as possible. I want to run a half marathon as fast as possible. I want to run a 10K as fast as possible and a 5K as fast as possible. And he quickly responded, well, that's, you know, you kind of need to choose what you want to do. And I had, the New York Roadrunners have a program where, or they did back in the day, where it was called 9+1. So if you ran 9 of their events, which were considered qualifying events for the marathon, and if you volunteered at one event, you would have a guaranteed entry into the subsequent year's marathon. I mean, you still need to pay for it, but at least you had that spot. It wasn't in the lottery. So 2015, I did that. I ran 9 events. I volunteered at one of the training runs for the marathon, and I had a spot locked in for the marathon. I signed up, paid for it, but then continued to have conversations with my coach, and I was really enjoying the shorter distances. I was enjoying seeing myself progress and knowing that I was able to get faster and just have better times in the half, the 10K, 5K, and a bunch of little random distances, like, you know, 4 miles, 6 miles, stuff like that. And that meant putting marathon on ice off to the side, worrying about it later. And my mentality was, I'll tackle that when I'm no longer getting faster in all these other shorter distances. And as long as I'm getting faster, I'll just focus on these. And I deferred the marathon for a year, and then I didn't do it the next year because I was still having so much fun focusing on these shorter distances and seeing the progression that I was hoping to see. When I moved to Vancouver, the race landscape was very different, and I realized just how lucky I was to be in New York when there literally was a race. I mean, New York Roadrunners, I think, puts on 40 events, 40 races a year, and then there are other race organizations as well. So the majority of my races were with New York Roadrunners, but then a couple of different ones like the Newport Half in New Jersey and a couple of other smaller races on the side. And when I got to Vancouver, there weren't as many races. I mean, there's a Scotia Half, there's a BMO Marathon, there's Seawees. Those are kind of the big ones. There was the MEC series, which has now been, it was cut back before COVID, but now it's essentially non-existent. And I went to a local race in Coquitlam, and it just didn't have the same, it just didn't have the same feeling as those races in New York. And that's obviously a consequence of there just being so many people in New York, even if
I was going to say,
like, you go and do the Bronx 5K and there's still 5,000 people running it. Whereas this race in Coquitlam, we were 25, 30 people. And the level of organization, the infrastructure around it wasn't the same. There were no clocks out on course with gun time, or there was just nothing to kind of use as reference. There was a 5K and 10K. I remember there was a 5K and 10K. The 10K started, and then I was running the 5K. We ran the 5K, started maybe 3 or 4 minutes later, and we caught up with the 10K and we're zigzagging past people, and it was an out and back. So then you turn back around and then you're dodging the people in the 5K that are going out towards the turnaround and those people in the 10K that you've just passed. And when I got to the finish line, I was just like, this is not the race vibe that I'm looking for. I'm going to have a tough time pushing myself, knowing that it just isn't the same setup. And at the time when I moved to Vancouver, I started working for a mountain bike company. So I was also just mountain biking more and kind of put running on to the side a little bit, because I there just wasn't the race landscape that I was looking for, to have that consistency and just know that I could at least have 6-7 races that I really liked on my calendar. And then in 2019, some friends reached out and said, we have a team in Hood to Coast. Do you want to take part in that? And that was an event that I've just had my eyes on for a couple of years. And back when I was in New York, a coworker was always talking about this Ragnar event in Vermont, and this team relay in a van. It's just like so much fun. It's over a couple of days, and you're just, you know, it's just a really fun team competition. And it's an adventure at the same time. And so I immediately responded, I'm in, Hood to Coast, like, sign me up, let's do this. And I still wish you had, I know I invited you last minute when someone dropped out.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome. It would have been awesome to have you out there.
I know.
But it was such a cool event. And I knew four people out of 12 on our team. But you immediately get so close with all those other people that you're running with, and it feels like you're fast friends, even though you've literally only known them for less than 24 hours before the race start when we were decorating our cars. And the whole race vibe was fun. The exchanges, the major exchanges, and like in the city, all these teams are out. They're dressed up. People are having fun, but it's also competitive. You're in the mix with some really elite or sub elite athletes, and it really left an impression on me of just how much fun it was to go out to push yourself, but also be in a situation where that's not the only goal. You're also out there to have fun. You're in a new place. You're discovering. It's an adventure. There's logistic issues. There's just all this stuff happening. I wasn't even able to sleep. I mean, some people slept between legs, and I was just like, adrenaline was at 100, and I was just, it was so much fun. And that really, yeah, that really got me into the team relay style of running, which, again, yeah, you can approach with a competitive lens, or you can really approach from a, let's just go have fun as a team. Let's go and do something unique. Let's do something that's gonna, you know, it's a weekend adventure, as opposed to just being about driving out somewhere local and running for an hour or two and then heading home.
Yeah, that's great. This is one thing, I don't live with a regret, but I do wish I had made that trip. Like, it sounds like such an amazing time. And I mean, we've done some stuff here, relay style around the island of Montreal, 125K, which has been super fun, but I can only imagine what it must be like to run, like just a destination runcation kind of style.
Yeah.
That could be so fun. And, the camaraderie, and like, I was a team guy growing up too, playing hockey and soccer. So I'm all about that. And obviously love to meet new people in running and stuff like that. So I'm sure we'll have another shot at it then.
We will. The team, we had the spot for the team in 2020. Obviously that got pushed back, but as soon as, yeah, I'll definitely throw you an invite as soon as there's some clarity as to when it's actually going to take place.
Amazing. Yeah, it'd be so cool. Do you, because you went from like training alone, and then now you're running relays with groups of people. Like, my question is like more around community running and like for a lot of people, it's a struggle, right? They run alone, they run with one other person for exercise, but like it's can be an intimidating thing. Like you're a social guy, but you were training alone. Do you remember when you kind of got introduced to community running? Was it in Vancouver? And like, how do you get introduced to a Hood to Coast team? Like how did that all kind of come about?
Quickly on the Hood to Coast team, I mean, that was just, friends that, had been doing that race for years. So I had kind of seen it on their channels and
okay.
they brought it up all the time. Obviously them seeing me, grow this love for running. I think my name came up when they were, you know, thinking about who else could be on this team. And I also reminded them on a regular basis, like, hey, if there's ever a spot on your team, you know who to call. So I think I sort of pushed my way into that. In terms of connecting with more of a community, it definitely happened when I switched from working for Rocky Mountain and started working for CLA. And then just the connections with our friends and fam, who many of them are either founders, leaders of run clubs or are part of run clubs. And it just, I just started reaching out to people and wanted to get to know them better and heading out to some of those community runs or just lining up runs with people that I hadn't met, running just the two of us or a small group. That was relatively new to me, a couple of years ago, and I really enjoyed it. And I still, I think the best way to describe it is that whatever I need running to be for me, it can serve that purpose. It can serve that end goal. So if I want to meet some new people, or if I want to get to know someone better, I can just go for a very conversational run with them and truly enjoy that. Not really worry about, you know, about what I'm, any personal goals at that time. It's like, hey, let's hang out. Let's go for a run. Or with a small group or at a run club. If I need to completely disconnect from what's happening in the world, and really shut my mind down, I'll go for a trail run. And I live at the foot of the North Shore Mountains. It's steep, it's straight up, straight down, lots of technical terrain. And I'll just go into the woods for an hour and change, climb like 500-600 meters, and then go down some rooty, rocky, sketchy trails, because it just forces me to shut my mind off. And I still have that individual pursuit of performance, of speed. And so those training sessions and workouts, I still have that mixed in. And it just, yeah, I don't know. There's a versatility to running, and it can serve so many different purposes, which I find, it's an amazing thing about running that I can't think necessarily you can find in other sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the connection is like a huge thing, and it offers, like you're saying, I agree with you, and it's something I've given a lot of thought to. Like, especially during the pandemic, you know, I know for a lot of people it's been a challenge with things, with races being canceled, and it gives them a purpose to their training. But personally, like, I love running, right? So I'm going to run every day regardless. Yeah. You know, the types of workouts I'm going to do are going to be to prepare myself for the upcoming season. But I just view it as a time to catch up, if anything, to improve myself, so that whenever this kind of gets back to maybe a new normal, that I'll be ready, and, you know, I don't have to start from scratch kind of thing. Just kind of keep the ball rolling. Now, what I do miss is like that community aspect, which was pretty strong. And like, I got to meet a lot of cool people through the RunRight group in Montreal out of the CLE headquarters. And that's kind of like how I got in with that group, and also in with that relay, similar to you, just like, hey guys, if you need an extra person, I'd be interested, kind of thing, like you did with Hood to Coast. But it's funny when you put yourself out there like that, what can happen.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, we found a way to create that element of community too, and also mix it with the race last year. When obviously all races were off the calendar, you could run with other people, but even, I guess, group runs and stuff like that had been canceled last year for the majority of run clubs. And then the Speed Project came out with TSP DIY. So again, I mean, you could run it solo, but the opportunity to create a team, do a relay. It was 31 hours, 15 minutes, whoever goes the farthest in each category, but also just the opportunity to kind of create your own adventure, do whatever you want to do with it. And as soon as that was announced, I mean, we also, from a work standpoint, we partnered up with them, and we love what they're doing. But from a personal standpoint, when I saw that, I was like, okay, I need to put a team together. This is my opportunity to create something that was like that Hood to Coast experience. I can rally a group of people together. We can do something completely different. And I sent an email to, I don't know, 10, 12 people, basically saying, hey, this event is coming up. It's Labor Day weekend. We could be a team any size, like the freestyle team. I think it could be up to 25 people. So we could be a team of any size. Let's go get lost in the mountains. And I was kind of fixated on trying to do something that was ridiculous and in the backcountry and logistically quite challenging, but I also think that bringing a group of people through something like that would be really, really fun. And it just it brings you so much closer together, and you just have a nice team sense of accomplishment. And But and I said I didn't. I absolutely did not want to be captain. I just had too many things going on. And of course, you know, fast forward a couple of weeks later, I'm captain of a team and trying to recruit and fill the spots. And it, at times it looked optimistic, it looked good. At times it looked like it wasn't going to happen. And I went for a run with Ryan, who I think you know, Ryan Chilbeck, with a he's also a CLA friend, race director for Canada Racers.
Okay.
And we went for a run in Port Moody, and I think it was the day or two before we had to have at least 8 people lined up to do this, and we're maybe halfway through the run, and I think we both kind of felt like this just isn't going to happen. We don't have enough people signed up, and I made one more last ditch effort to try and get some people to sign up, and managed to get enough so that we had a team. And we didn't want to approach it from a competitive standpoint. For me, it was more, how can we create something that is going to be very memorable? How can we create a situation where we're going to go through, to a degree, go through hell together, but everyone can push themselves if they want to, but it's not about trying to win place or do anything like that. So even some of the people that we got to sign up had never done a race like that. Some of them just don't necessarily do races too much. So there were a couple questions of, you know, what concern about pace when I asked them to join the team. And I'm like, I don't care what anyone's pace is. As long as you feel like you can run approximately 35 kilometers, broken up over 3 legs over a day and a half, you'd be a great team member from my standpoint. And, we created, Ryan being a race director in a year of canceled races, this was an opportunity for him to put his operational logistics brain to work. And he started just mapping out all these options for what we could have as a race course. And we were looking at the Pacific Coast Trail in Tofino. We were looking at or on Vancouver Island between north of Tofino. And we were looking at all these different options, and ultimately we landed on the Kettle Valley Rail Trail, which is, I think altogether it's 610 kilometers. It spans, it's basically maybe 300 kilometers west of Kelowna to 300 kilometers east of Kelowna. And it's an old railroad track that has been turned into a gravel path for hikers, runners, cyclists. And it just, you know, he started to map out where all the exchange places could be, how long all the legs would be. We mapped this all out up until the last minute. We were making adjustments and rented some RVs, drove out to Merritt, BC to start our race together as a team. And again, similar to my experience at Hood to Coast, it was the first time so many of them were meeting each other. Mm. And it was just an absolutely amazing experience. Again, we had no intention of trying to perform well from a overall race standpoint. It was really just about going through that experience together. And immediately, one of the coolest things about situations like that, which obviously you don't really experience when you're running by yourself, is seeing how everyone supports each other, seeing how everyone helps push each other. We thought we were only going to need bike support on a couple of legs because no one really had ever been on this trail before. It was Ryan using Google Earth to look at and be like, yeah, I think this works. This looks like this could be an exchange spot. So we were literally uncovering the trail or learning about it as we were running through it and doing this race. And we quickly realized that it wasn't just bike support for a couple of legs. We needed bike support for the entire thing. And so there was also an element of camaraderie that was happening because people weren't just running the legs by themselves. They were also having someone on a bike nearby. And I feel like I would go on a vacation with that entire team, in a heartbeat. Like we became so close, and I still run with some of them quite often, and TSP DIY is coming back. So I'm excited about planning what our trip is going to be like for that. But it's just I like that kind of situation and that kind of ties back to community, but it's also an opportunity to, as opposed to focusing on overall performance, it's really everyone can be as competitive with themselves as they want, but it's the overall experience that just creates something that's truly memorable and we'll remember for, I even just talking about it now, like I have a big smile on my face. It was such a fun trip.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. I have a smile too. Those are moments that you don't forget. Like those are, we did like a few years back, we ran from, did a big relay race for Canada Day, we ran from Montreal to Ottawa.
Okay.
So that's about like 200K, but we did it with like multiple different crews from Montreal. And, you know, it wasn't like a overnight thing or anything like that, but just like that whole day was so cool and special. And yeah, you make these connections in such a short period of time. And it's not even about like, yeah, it's not about how like fast you're going, or it's like that you're doing this thing together and
yeah,
that you're able to complete it together. And that's a pretty special thing overall. And like you're right, creates memories that you never forget, kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think that the other really nice thing about that is it's everyone was running different paces, but it didn't matter. I think it was an opportunity for people who maybe were more self-conscious about their pace to realize that it doesn't matter in that context. And it brought everyone together and shed the importance of pace speed and focused more on experience.
Do you get that a lot? Actually, now you mentioned pace, you made me think of something, but you know, I'll go to somebody and say like, hey, we should go for a run together. And they'll be like, oh, like I can't keep up. You know, that's like the first thing out of their mouth. And I'm like, no, it's good. Like, we're just going to go and like chat. Like, don't worry about pace. Do you get that too?
Yeah, I definitely have. Yes. I think probably more back when I was in New York. I don't think of all the people that have reached out to recently saying, hey, can we, you know, do you want to go for a run? No one has necessarily brought that up. I think I'm also going for runs with people who are more, I guess have just been running for longer. So they know that that run is not, it's going to be about conversation. It's not going to be about pace. On the flip side, I've gone on a run with someone who dragged me along and I had to hustle to keep up. I went for a trail run with a 17-year-old who's on the Canadian mountain running team. And, So we were just going for a, chill 20K run, which he described as essentially flat. And it had, I think, 1,100 meters of elevation gain. And I was definitely hurting and just struggling to keep up for the second, for like the second half or maybe the last third of it. But yeah, I think I did used to have people bring that up or mention that or just have that concern. But I think, I don't know, that I haven't experienced that recently.
Yeah, it's like, thanks, kid. Appreciate the heads up, right?
Essentially flat.
Working, just to like touch on your work, your career, it seems like you've been in the sport or working in sports and like cycling and then coming to CLE. Like, has that experience, like, what's been your takeaway working with a company like that? Like, you see they reach a lot of people. They get involved in a lot of different events like TSP. Like I've had Aire Libre, so like running retreats. Everything to do with running, they seem to be on people's heads. And so it's the visibility is there. Like what's been your takeaway working for a company like that, and like how have you enjoyed your time with them so far?
Yeah, I've been quite lucky that for essentially my entire career, I've always been working in and around things that I'm passionate about. The majority of my career being around sports, I worked for Red Bull for 12 years and was close to both sports and music and nightlife and things that I was very passionate about at the time. And then being someone who grew up playing soccer, I worked 5 years for the MLS team for the New York Red Bulls, which also brought me to New York, which is an amazing experience. But it was very cool to mix both my personal passion with what I was doing professionally. And then with CLA, so it's been super interesting because I've gone the opposite direction of moving from, you know, a company to a bigger company to a bigger company. I've gone from a big global company to a smaller company to a much smaller company. And I think it's been super enriching to work for CLA, and it's, you know, the brand's been around since 2014. One of the two co-founders, Jeremy, we've been friends for close to 15 years now. So I've also been a fan of the brand since day one. I unfortunately did not manage to buy a hat from them in the first year, but I have the first cap I bought from them was in year two, a fast cap indigo colorway. And I still have it. I still wear it from time to time. I still have my 5K PR in it. But it was super exciting to watch this brand grow and just start to see them more and more, and to now be working for them, one, for, you know, a company that I watched a friend start and grow over the years, and then also to be so involved and in love with running, to work in that same sport too is it's very special. It's very cliche to say, you know, if you enjoy what you do, you'll never feel like you've worked a day in your life, but I can legitimately say that. That is how it feels. And it's also for such a, we're a very small company. We're 9 people full time, and then a handful of people who work either part time or freelance consulting. So we're quite small, but despite that, we are very focused on community. We're very focused on storytelling. So it's been amazing to just get connected with everyone that the brand already had relationships with, and continue to forge new ones and to try and build on existing relationships. It's been an amazing experience so far, and it's a bit of a blank canvas, I guess, in terms of what we can do to grow over years to come, and I'm definitely very excited about that.
And I love the collaborations that you do too, and the special hats that you do. Like, I know Parkdale hit their 10-year, and you guys made a hat with them, and
yeah,
you know, just being part of, you know, like, running is a passion, you know, and this is a running hat. So I think, like, you being a runner and them being a running brand, it's like a nice fit. And has it, like, enhanced your love of running, working with them? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And yeah, it's, I can't go a day without thinking about running. I can't escape from running, which just forces you to love it even more. But I think it's you gain so much more admiration and respect for different corners of running or different elements that you didn't necessarily know as much about before. So when you're fully immersed in it, you just see, again, it comes back to what I was saying before about just the versatility of running, and whatever I need it to be, it can be that for me on that day. I'm connecting with people who running means different things to them, has helped them in different ways. And also because we're so focused on storytelling, it's also looking at how can we tell those stories in a way that is going to help inspire others and also be quite relatable. So our tagline is Everybody Run, and we really do try to bring that to life. We want to focus on, it's not just about elite or performance, someone who runs recreationally once a week, like, awesome, rad. That's amazing. If that's what running is for them and they're happy with that, then, you know, we want to celebrate that. So, I think it's definitely enhanced my love for the sport, and also just continue to educate and, show me how running means different things for different people.
And I think I love that storytelling component too. Like I follow your newsletter as well, and I've even interviewed a few friends of the brand. Yeah. I know Kyla has been on the show, and I mentioned Ari Libre, the guy who's there, been on too, and a few others. So yeah, it's been fun to kind of almost connect through Cielli, which is interesting. Now that I say it out loud, but I'm also a fan of the brand, and I have a hat for every outfit, which I'm sure you'd be happy to hear. So
yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So, what's next for you in terms of your goals? Like, I know you were mentioning at the start, like when you spoke to your first coach, like, I want to be good at the 5, 10 and half and full. And, is that still something you're after?
Definitely. So, and that kind of is what led to me, finding a coach here and starting to work with Luc Boucher. I guess a combination of just not necessarily seeing, no, there's still race options in Vancouver, but just not as many as in New York. So, I wanted to have more things on my calendar. I wanted to have things that I could work towards. And I still felt like I could progress in the half, 5K, 10K, and the mile as well. One of my favorite races back in New York was the Fifth Avenue Mile, where you start in front of the Met at Central Park and just pin it down to the end of Central Park. It's such a fun event. I mean, it's over so quick, but it's so cool. It's so fun. So I still wanted to. I still want to push myself and see if I can continue to progress. And I still haven't run a full marathon, because I still haven't reached the point where I'm just not able to get faster in the half, 10K and 5K. And as much as all the, you know, I only went to one group track session before that got shut down. I've still been working with Luc, and he's been giving me, I think the difference between the coaching that he's been giving me and the coaching that I had in the past with John was, he's integrating a lot more workouts in throughout the week, and workouts during long runs, which I, you know, in the past long runs were long runs. You just went out and okay, if it's 20K, you just go run 20K at a relatively comfortable pace, but it's steady. Whereas, Luc has me doing intervals and, you know, pushed efforts and all that during the long run, which was new for me. I hadn't been doing that until I started working with him. And I am definitely noticing what that's been able to do for me from a fitness standpoint. And, I'm going to be turning 40 in a month and a half. And so right before I started working with Luc, so it was about 6 months before I was scheduled to turn 40, I decided that it would be fun to have something to push for prior to that happening. So I decided that I wanted to see if I could set new PRs for the half, the 10K, the 5K, and the mile. And that's essentially the objective that I gave Luc from a coaching standpoint, and that's what he's been building the program around. So on April 10th or 11th, depending on the weather, I'm going to go out and time trial the half, and then I have 32 days to also set PRs for the 10K, 5K, and mile.
Wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm feeling very good about it. I mean, I had a long run with 12K of effort last Friday and came quite close to my current PR halftime. So I'm optimistically thinking that I can shave maybe 4 minutes off it, maybe a little bit less, but either way, I'm definitely feeling, I'm in the best shape of my life. From a running fitness standpoint. So I'm ready to attack these. And it's just I needed something to push towards. So with the absence of races, I kind of created my own.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. Like, and I think for me too, like I signed up for a virtual race series. That's going to be 5, 10, half and full as well. So I think like, okay. It's going to be, you know, I think that's the fun part about working with a new coach too, is that, you know, you might have the same objectives, but they're going to have a different approach. And I think that's what I find the most, like, I also have a new coach, and the most fun part I find about it is that it's all new. It's like the workouts are different. It's exciting. You know, no two workouts are the same with my coach anyways. But like trying something different, working outside the box, and hopefully you see some gains even at 39, which,
yeah,
if you've been following running, Christopher Thompson actually won the London trials, Olympic trials, and he's also 39. So amazing. There's hope for us yet.
There's hope.
I'm right behind you.
Yeah, and I mean the other thing too, and part of the reason why I moved away from my last coach was also just the fact that I'd never met him. He was living in Colorado, so there was, I guess, a concern that maybe there's something that he's not physically seeing. He's never actually seen me run. So I also wanted to work with someone local who, again, COVID has kind of changed that plan, but now things are opening up again, so I can go for a run with Luke. I can get him to come and drag me around the track when it's time to try to PR the mile, so I can just hang on to him as opposed to trying to do that completely by myself. Mm. But I also wanted a coach that could take a look at me and, I don't know, it's like, what are you doing with your arms? That kind of thing. Like the fact that my previous coach had just never seen me run, it made me wonder if there was something, from a form standpoint that I should be addressing. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of invigorates you, I guess, and gives you new things, new techniques, new things to new ways of looking at your training. And it's been really great working with Luke so far. And I'm very excited about going out and trying to PR these. And again, coming back to the fact that I'm stubbornly competitive, if I do set new PRs, my immediate reaction will be like, I wonder how much faster I can get. This probably, let's do another one in a couple months.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And no doubt you'll get there. You seem to be working hard to achieve that. So it's all about putting in the work, I think.
Yeah, no, the other thing, and I think you, I'm hopefully not making up facts about you, but you're vegetarian, right?
Yeah, plant-based vegan, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And that's the other thing too that I think has legitimately contributed to my fitness is my wife and I, we started going much more plant-based starting in maybe last July, August. We cut out a lot of, I guess, like cheap meat that we used to be buying in the past. And we've been, for this month, we've been entirely plant-based. And that too, I mean, have you seen Game Changer?
I have. Yeah, it's one of the two documentaries I watched before I made the switch. It's been three years now, so.
Okay. It was amazing. Like, I noticed, obviously, I attribute, I think, my current fitness to two things. And one, it's just the program and the intensity and different things that Luke has mixed in that I wasn't getting with my old coach. But then also just diet and just I'm recovering so much faster. I feel so much better. And I never really thought about it until I watched Game Changer. Everyone's like, oh, wow, maybe this is really contributing in a meaningful way to my body, to my health, and how I'm actually able to be faster now than I was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the science is out there. It's, you know, if you want to read up about it or watch Game Changers, or a lot of people are scared to watch it because they think it might change them. But like it's
a game changer.
I always think, yeah, it is. And I think, you know, what happened to me, like cutting out the meat, I added even more like vegetables and fruits and stuff to my diet because you got to eat something. And it comes down to education, I think. And I've learned so much and what works and what doesn't work. And I train, run 6 days a week, and you know, I'm still able to perform and recover and all that. So, you know, I think, you know, not everyone's going to make the full change, but if they, you know, implement you know, meatless Monday, or, you know, start slow.
Yeah. Even just doing a small change. Yeah,
for sure. So what has running taught you?
It's an excellent question. I think it's taught me to, know myself better. I'm able to process things so much better through running, and it's also made me realize, when I've had an absence of things in my life. When COVID first hit, obviously we were stressed at home. We had our daughter was home, out of daycare. We were working from home. My wife was pregnant. From a work standpoint, we were just trying to figure out what hurdles we would need to get past. And, it was probably a month and a half of having that stress without really dialing into it. And I went for a trail run. And when I got back to my car after, you know, an hour and 20 minutes, an hour and 30 minutes in the woods, I had not felt that relaxed, that mental clarity in so long. And it made me just a lot more conscious of how much stress COVID was weighing, you know, was putting on us and weighing down on my shoulders. And then through something like TSP DIY, when we organized that trip and you know, went to places that we had never been before, discovering this trail as we're running along it, it also made me just realize and appreciate how much happiness, discovery, exploration, going somewhere new, doing something that I haven't done before brings me. I wouldn't have necessarily clued into that or realized just to what degree it does that, or what degree that brings me happiness if it hadn't been for running. So I think I've just learned a lot more about myself, as a result of different moments in running.
That's awesome. And what does it all mean to you?
What does it all mean to me? I don't know. That's a good question.
I leave the two best for the end.
What does running mean to you?
What does running mean to me? It's everything for me right now. Like it's been like a godsend. I think it's part of everything I do. And it changed for me when I, the minute I did that charity 10K from a coworker challenged me to, and then it was years of, you know, running halves alone and then getting introduced to the community, my good friends Kat and Kev, and then like that opened me up to the world of running in Montreal and brought me to WRG, who have, you know, encouraged me to wanted to start a podcast, and when I met Ken and Kev, it kind of changed running for me and then again opened me up to that world. And I just want to inspire other runners with stories like theirs, and I think we all have a story. And so, you know, it brought me to this podcast. I met you through running. I met so many people, and I'm inspired by everything people have to say. And it doesn't matter if you're elite or if you're just starting out, like how you got there and where you're going. It's a beautiful journey that we can all get on, and no two paths are alike. But I think like you in COVID, it's been, I found different meaning in running. It's some days it's a hard training. Some days it's for clarity. Some days it's, you know, like, you know, I going through a breakup, you know, it's helped me through so much stuff. And it kind of like helps you through the clutter in your mind. And even as simple as like, you know, I'm working in Nunavut, and it gives me that 1 hour to train every day and disconnect from my day, and it's almost like therapy as well. So as much as it is a pursuit of like personal growth and advancement, it's in the sport, it's also like connecting with myself, connecting with nature, connecting with limited connection with humans when I do, because yep. You know, it's so important, and we've kind of lost that, but running's kind of kept it together, if you will.
Yeah. Sorry, that was long, I'm going to use that as my, I'm going to use that as, that's my answer too. No, I think, I mean, I think, yeah, it's become, obviously I'm in love with it, super passionate about it. It's, I'm running essentially every day of the week. I'm also working essentially every day of the week, or, you know, 5 days a week, in running. And it's just, it consumes so much of my life, but it also is so enriching, and it's brought so much positivity. And I think coming back to, life growing up as a kid, playing all these team sports, running was at the focus of it, or running was, without necessarily focusing on it, running was so key to all those sports. I mean, playing soccer, I absolutely loved running. I would never want to sub out. I would want to play the entire game. I played on the wings, so I would have to run even more. We'd finish games and I'd want to, you know, keep playing. Playing baseball, I'm small and I was tiny as a kid. My strike zone was a horizontal line. So most times I would either walk or I'd, you know, single, as long as if I made contact with the ball, I was likely to get on base, and then I would just try to steal second, steal third, sometimes steal home. I was never really purely focused on running. And then when in 2015, when we signed up for the Brooklyn Half and just connected with it and realized how much I could get out of it. And again, that started as one thing. It started as a satiating a competitive need and an objective look at myself and where I stood, into meaning so much more for me. Again, career, friends, community, stories, learning more about people, exploring, discovering. It's just, and it's, again, it's coming back to the storytelling side. It's just so amazing that running means so many things to different people and can help people in so many different ways. It means the world to me.
Mm, that's a great way to end it. I should pull out the clips of everyone's answer, for all, you'll be the 67th episode, but just to see how.
Yeah, a compilation.
Yeah, a compilation of all the answers to that very same question. That might be an interesting thing to do. Where can people find out more about you, Dan?
I'm a fairly open book on Instagram. I guess that's probably the best place to follow me at DanielMTL. Otherwise just come to Vancouver and let's go for a run.
Oh, I would love to. There's so much in Vancouver I haven't explored yet. And where is your favorite place to run in Vancouver, by the way?
For sure, from a trail standpoint, I love running on Frome. And then I absolutely love running around Stanley Park. And then the seawall on the North Shore, kind of between Ambleside and the Lonsdale Quay. Anywhere that's near the water, but you also have views of the mountains, it just kind of reminds you how beautiful this area is. And those are my favorite spots.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Dan, for taking the time. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and knowledge. And it's been a long time coming. I've wanted to have you on the show for a while now, and looking forward to a time where we can run together again, when you can get back here, or I can get out to Vancouver for a run or two.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Thanks for having me on, and or maybe we meet up in Oregon and just run from the hood to the coast.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. Take care, Dan.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. This episode is brought to you by the WRG Run Club. What's really good is running with people who are fun, friendly, and positive. But seeing as we can't do that in person right now, let's try our best to stay connected through social media. How can you do that? Every Monday, we'll connect through a virtual run. You can go out there at any time of the day and run any distance you choose. When you get home, share your run with us on Instagram by tagging at WRGRuns. And we'll post it in our stories for everyone to see. It's a tough time for everyone, so hopefully this helps us stay motivated to get out there and keep moving. If you want to learn more, visit our website, imarunner.ca, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Hope to see you all soon. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at imarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at The Rundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it.
The Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in St. Henry, Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and hosted by Justin Pugliese.